Thank you. That's a good reminder, isn't it? God is in everything. God is here now. The presence is always. Well, there's been a major debate going on in online meeting groups in the New Thought Minister community. That's both Unity and Centers for Spiritual Living. And for those of us in New Thought, the big question that's being bandied about is, should we close? Should we stay open? How do we deal with this outbreak in a manner that demonstrates our foundation principle that there's only God going on, that there's only one presence, one power, at the same time taking safety measures that would seem to imply that there's a belief in separation going on or that there's fear here? If we stay open, are we putting people in danger? If we close, are we letting fear drive our actions? So there's this dilemma that's hanging in the winds, and let's talk about that particular elephant that's hanging around our sanctuary right now. It's the coronavirus. Are you ready? Do we have a dun-da-da, right? The coronavirus. It's now being called a pandemic, and signs of it are everywhere we look. Would you agree? Yes, our brothers and sisters in Seattle have been at the epicenter of this for quite some time. In Washington State, they've shut down gatherings of 250 people or more. Schools are closed, sports, venues, concerts, other major events, all canceled, canceled, canceled. And the guidelines say to maintain a social distance of how much? 6 feet between us. And the news changes from minute to minute. Do you know, I started writing this talk on Monday, which I usually do. I've had to rewrite it 3 times.
Really?
Yes. Now, I like to edit my work as the week goes on. That's not... Well, because the news changed so much that they're, okay, that's out of date. Back in the recycle bin you go and start again. There are now 3 confirmed cases in Spokane. That's the latest news I heard, at least. So we are not immune to its effects. And as you heard earlier when Joan, our board president, got up here, we will be canceling our Sunday services for a while, but we'll continue to live stream our talks at 10 o'clock Pacific time. What time?
10
o'clock Pacific, starting next Sunday. We're also stopping the use of our building until things get under control. We won't be doing our meet and greet today, but if we want to greet each other, it's with a elbow bump, or a namaste, or a wave, or I saw one place doing the peace sign. For the peace song, we just stand and sing as we do for our community song. I saw one place was putting their hand on their heart for the peace song. Oh, we could hug each other. Hug ourselves. No, hug. We should hug ourselves. You didn't hear me say hug each other, right? Hug ourselves. We have wonderful snacks prepared this morning by Candy and Shirley. Thank you to both. Now, both of them have been observing hygiene to the nth degree, scrubbing their hands before preparing the food, sanitizing the entire place. They're serving utensils for anything that needs them, and everything else is individually wrapped. There's hand sanitizer at the table, so please sanitize your hands before you even touch those utensils or anything else. So we're really, you know, working hard at this. Now, why are we doing this? Well, not to be an alarmist, not to be fear-based. It's a preventative measure rather than trying to deal with the aftermath. Do you feel the difference in that? Because it's important for us to understand this. When we follow these practices, it's an attempt to try to flatten the curve of the pandemic. You've probably seen this graph that shows the spread of the virus with or without protective measures. And the problem is that the healthcare system gets overloaded when it peaks like that. And then the outbreak lasts even longer. So the idea through social distancing is to slow down the spread of the virus, so that we don't get a huge spike in the number of people getting sick all at once. So we have made the choice, because of all this, to take this decisive action. And We believe it's in the best interest for the health of our staff, our community members, and help flatten the curve. Doing our part. Now, does this mean that we don't believe in the principles that we teach?
No.
Hell no. Tragedies happen even when the presence of God is right here with us. Have you noticed this? It's kind of the way of the world. You know, it's how it works. It's part of the human experience. As one of our colleagues, Reverend Kelly Issola, wrote, it's a virus doing exactly what viruses do. So let's respect that. And she goes on to point out something really important that we can really adopt as a congregation, that in the midst of all of that, what we can have the greatest impact on healing is the emotional contagion, which is one of the byproducts of this pandemic. And this is our work in the arena of the emotional contagion, being the presence of peace in the midst of the fear and the anxiety. And we do that by visiting our internal pharmacy. I love that. I saw that somewhere online. And discovering the power of the contagious heart. That's my talk title this morning, Contagious Heart. And you may remember a few weeks back, we talked about humanity's morphogenic field that we all contribute to. It's like the collective unconscious that we are all walking through and living in, immersed in. And we contribute to that field, especially whenever we have strong emotion tied to a belief. And that is where our power lies. That's the place right there. Feeling compassion, really feeling compassion and appreciation, and letting it grow in intensity, letting it emanate from within us. And this helps to create a new emotional contagion. We want this contagion. We want divine love, and we want caring to spread. Do you see? And while we're doing that consciousness-raising work, we also need to take mindful actions that make sense in this physical realm. We are spiritual beings, and we're living in a material universe. And the safety of our congregation is our biggest concern. We have people who are at risk in this congregation. So we want to use our innate powers of spirit-guided wisdom and compassion to adopt smart health and well-being practices. And at the same time, we don't want to succumb to fear that is rampantly spreading in this sea of cultural beliefs that we're all immersed in. You know, it's there. And the best antidote for that, the best antidote, is to activate and sustain an elevated emotion, compassion, gratitude, love. Radiate it. Radiate peace and harmony. That's our work. Every single one of us. We have the opportunity to be the presence of peace in the midst of all this craziness. So we need to follow our innate intelligence and wisdom to be smart, to care for our community's health through supportive safety practices. And we utilize prayer, affirmations, being a presence of compassion and kindness to be a healing presence and contribute to humanity's morphogenic field. It's a balancing act. Are you up for this?
Yes.
It's a balancing act, though. We've heard the saying, praise Allah and tether your camel, or pray and lock your car. Well, I just read Jack Kornfield's version. I love this. Remember your Buddha nature and your social security number. So it's about taking action with this double vision, knowing the truth that God is source, all the while dealing compassionately with what is showing up in the world of form. So one of Unity's basic principles, we create our experience of life through the thoughts we routinely think, through the beliefs that we filter our life through. Now, I don't know about you, but I love this principle when things are going my way. See? When things are showing up in my life that I like to take credit for them. But what about when something like this shows up? Something that's a little less desirable, that I don't want to see happen. Well, now I might shift my thinking to something like, I must have messed up somewhere. I know this is my fault. See, something in my consciousness has drawn this to me. My fearful thoughts and beliefs are responsible for this. Now, granted, there is a time for introspective self-inquiry when we are suffering in some way in our lives and to see what changes we need to make in order to transform that. But it's gentle self-inquiry. See, self-compassion, looking at our lives through the lens of compassionate curiosity, kindness towards ourselves, rather than guilt, rather than self-judgment. Otherwise, we are steeped in what is known as, in New Thought circles, metaphysical malpractice. And it's a kind of a spiritual shaming that we do. And if I'm berating myself or finding fault within me for fearful thinking, or worse, doing that to somebody else, then guess what? I am misusing truth principles. And it's the ego that does this. It's the head that does the judging. Metaphysics does us no good if it leads us to guilt and shame. Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, did not guilt herself into her healing. In fact, the total opposite. She loved herself back to wholeness, blessing every cell, apologizing to her body for ever believing it was anything less than whole, with miraculous results. She used her contagious heart to spread health and wholeness. So whenever anyone asks me the question, why is this happening to me? How did this get created? My answer is always the same. I don't know. I don't know all the factors involved. I don't know anyone's path in life. I can't see the greater picture. I don't even know where I'm headed, let alone judge someone else's world. So I don't know the answer as to why the coronavirus has shown up in our world right now. I have my pet theories. I could regale you with those. But truly, I cannot honestly say that I know. As much as my ego would love to find someone or something to blame, I just don't know.
I came from China.
Yeah. Right. There you go. But there are some things I do know. One is that regardless of whose fault I deem it to be, I am accountable for my response. See it? And responsibility refers to my ability to respond. So I can choose words and actions that are healing, life-affirming, kind, compassionate. I have that ability. I also know with every fiber of my being that within all of us is a place of strength and mighty power. Within every heart, there's a depth of understanding and wisdom and vision to not only help us walk through this and come out on the other side, but to go beyond just making it through in survival mode, to actually blossoming, evolving, transforming into a greater expression of who we have come here to be, individually and collectively. So since we can't see the big picture and know all there is to know about why this is happening, first, can we all be in agreement that we will refrain from participating in metaphysical malpractice?
Yes.
Yes. And instead, consult our heart and let compassion lead us. Because there are two aspects to this outbreak that we want to be mindful of, two elements that have made the disease rampant in some areas. The first is the physical nature of this virus. It's just highly contagious. The second, though, is the fear that people lay over it. Do you see it? Leading to negative effects that fear reaps. Panic, hoarding, based on a belief in scarcity. And make no mistake, fear can have a large impact on how we experience this whole thing. It even impairs our immune system on top of everything else if we're stuck in fear. But when the voice of fear starts to win out, that's when the voice of love must speak louder. And we're being called forth to this. We're being called forth to hold to the truth. God is our source, to be a compassionate presence in the midst of all the turmoil. So I want to suggest a practice, first of all, that we can all take up very easily that will help the situation in a couple of different ways. When we activate and sustain uplifting feelings of appreciation, compassion, joy, we contribute to the well-being of humanity. Well, it turns out those feelings need a minimum of 15 seconds to imprint onto the neurons of the brain. So here's what I'm calling all of us to take up as a practice. Whenever we wash our hands, we should be doing it for how long? 20 seconds. So every time we wash our hands, we start first by activating and then sustaining a feeling of gratitude the whole time that we're singing happy birthday twice. Or the face of God. I heard today that's a good one to sing, the Karen Drucker song. If we all took up this practice, it would be so cleansing on many different levels. Wouldn't you agree? On top of that, another of my colleagues, Reverend Rachel Simpson, wrote this. This is a time for us to increase our compassion. And she has for instance here, being patient with someone you think is underreacting or overreacting. It's a good place to start. It's also a time to deepen our spiritual practice. Spend time in prayer, meditation, activating and sustaining gratitude, compassion. Be in the silence. Listen to your heart. And it's time to be aware of the ways that we can each contribute to raising the common good. Listen to your heart. It'll tell you how. Take action that creates safety and healing for all, like washing your hands often with gratitude. So I want to end by sharing with you a reading that I saw posted on Facebook, and it's called Pandemic by Reverend Lynn Unger. And it's about this time of social distancing. Okay, where is it? There you go. And it goes like this. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel, cease from buying and selling, give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life, center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we're all connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. And promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, as long as we all shall live. So can you think of this time as a Sabbath? A long Sabbath, but a Sabbath nonetheless. Can we make this a sacred time of connecting to that deeper source and really, really listening? Take our spiritual practice to a deeper, deeper level than we ever have before. And bring forth the love in our hearts, knowing that that's our work. So I invite you to be the change. This is our time. This is our time to do it. Be a compassionate presence. Put feet under your prayers. Become a walking prayer. And don't forget to wash your hands. And that's that.
I don't know how you got a picture of my business associate taking all that toilet paper from Costco in the parking lot after service. I'm selling toilet paper, $5 a roll. Yeah, 50% goes to the church.